stop us. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
Oh, yeah.
And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? So our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than
Everlasting God. Oh yeah. Oh yes. And let all the earth rejoice. And gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, men and women, family, friends, and foes, and believe it or not, that would include my own wife, Marika White, as my greatest enemy over the past 35 years of marriage. And for some reason, the devil fights through her, fights mightily to try to hinder my preaching, and that's been the case for over 35 years. And as I told her today, one of the reasons why I am preaching on July the 1st, 2023, the main reason why, because I was planning on taking a break. But because the devil and my wife fought me so hard throughout so-called Pride Month, I know that I'm on to something. Because after she made a profession of faith on March the 4th this year, she was doing pretty good. But when the Lord led me to preach every day, nearly every day of June, the devil worked overtime through her to try to hinder the services. In case some of you do not know what I'm talking about, the devil would do certain things through her to try to get her to provoke something within about an hour of the services. And I talked with her today, and I told her why I was preaching today. And all she had to do was obey God, obey her husband, and have a meek and quiet spirit, keep her mouth shut, stop cursing under her breath, stop talking back under her breath, and stop having a nasty demonic attitude, and things would be just fine. And you would think that she would get that, particularly since she has made a profession of faith in Christ. She is mad as the devil about this service tonight. I share that with you because I want you to know what true God-called preachers go through if they have a woman, a wife, who acts foolishly. For the Bible talks about how that a wise woman builds a house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. So, and I also share that with you because this has been going on for many years, as many of you know, and I invite you to pray for her. She doesn't bother me because I'm already dead to self, and I'm going to do what God leads me to do. And I have great peace about what I'm doing in the Lord. Great peace. And I get great joy out of it. And I get a blessing out of it. That's right. I get a blessing out of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's not just for you, but it's for her, my wife, my family who are listening in, even family members who are enemies, who are listening in, in-laws and outlaws as well, and people across this country and around the globe. I show my wife from time to time, Marika White, the thousands of people who read what I write and listen to what I preach, and to remind her that what we do here is extremely important, and what the children have done and are doing is extremely important. God can take just a little effort and multiply it a trillion times. And because it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So the other thing that I want to share with you as to what's going on, my wife has been influenced by the devil, and has been influenced also by her family, and I believe other people, and their plot and their plan is to get her to provoke something, or to provoke me to anger, so that there's some kind of big blow up, and so forth. And this is really not her plan. This is a plan that has been planted in her heart and in her mind by Judas family members and Judas friends on her side of the family. My children are not a part of it. They're caught in the middle. So that is the design, and there are some other people at a distance, a few pastors' wives who hate my guts because I preach the way I do, because I highlight what Bishop T.D. Jakes has said when he told women to stop trying to tell a man to be how to be a man, how to be a husband, and how to be a father. I highlight what Dr. Tony Evans has stated, telling men that men need to be men and rise up, and women need to submit to their husbands. And these men are going to say it much nicer than me, granted. I highlight what the Promise Keepers leader said. It's time for men to stop being so nice. We have been too nice. It's time for men to be men and understand that love includes rebuke and chastisement. When I highlight Dr. Tim Clinton, who is another nice man, these are men who are easygoing and much sweeter than I'll ever be, but they have seen the problem that has been caused in the church with men laying down and raising women up to be this and that, and the man is always wrong and always beat down, and the woman is always right, which is a lie out of hell. I saw my dad put up with that demonic foolishness while growing up, and God put a spirit in me never to be a part of that. That's not how a man ought to be. And that's not how a wife or a mother ought to be. Now, I have family members right now. They were just eating some pizza, but now they're mad as the devil because I said that. And so I have warned my wife not to take heed to her devilish family members, devilish friends and cohorts that they have even gotten in touch with near us to try to go along with their little game and plot. And I have told her, and I've told them publicly and openly, that the truth of the matter is your family member, your sister, your daughter, your niece, as a woman, as a wife, and a mother, other than good sex, is not worth keeping. So if you want to try to create a plot like that, that's unnecessary. Because if she really wanted to go, which she doesn't, but if she does, she can go with you. I've already used her for what I want to use her for. I got married to have sex, and that's the reason why we got married, and she has never failed in that area, but she has failed as far as being a good wife, being a good mother. And what's the most painful part for my children is that she was not a good mother. She has never caused me any real pain because I'm dead. And I'm not, God told me over 20-something years ago, you don't need to try to make her a virtuous woman anymore. She is not a virtuous woman. God told me that. And so I ceased trying to help her to become a virtuous woman. And so I want everybody to know. I want all of my family to know. I want the entire nation of America to know. I want the entire world to know. I am showing great grace and graciousness in allowing my wife to stay with me. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you have a woman who is lost or a husband who is lost and they want to stay, you let them stay. You don't divorce them, and I believe in that. And she's told me repeatedly, because I've told her, now, if you don't like anything that we're doing here, you don't like anything I'm doing here, and I've told her this for over 35 years, you can leave. Just leave me alone and leave my children alone. And now that we're in the empty nest, you can truly leave now. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at her. I think she's more mad at herself for failing as a woman, a wife, and a mother. And she, no doubt, is mad about my revealing the evil that she has done and the evil that she's doing. But I told her repeatedly, what you want to do is be a hypocrite. What you want to do is throw rocks and hide your hand. What you want to do is not say I love you to your children on your own, never. Not hug your children on your own, never. Not feed your children when you're supposed to. Burn their birthday cakes on purpose to cause a problem. Tear up the clothes that I did buy them. Keep a nasty, filthy house. And then act like you an angel and innocent and wonderful and perfect in front of church folks and other people and want to try to blame your husband for your failure as a woman, a wife, and a mother when you have admitted to me thousands of times and also to the entire family at least once that you were not a good woman, a good wife, and a good mother. But you, and here's your family coming up after all of these years, never helping your Jamaican side of the family coming up, never helping throughout all of the years when we needed their help, coming up now wanting to try to brainwash my children that you were wonderful and great and good. Thank God they didn't fall for that. They're smarter than that and wiser than that. And thank God you didn't fall for it. This is what I told my wife, Marika White. Another reason why I share these things, because throughout my saved life and ministry life, the preachers who have been a blessing to me the most have been the preachers who have been so dear to themselves and so humble and so transparent that they told the truth about their own family, their own experience, instead of falling off into the game that most evangelicals, most Protestants, most charismatic people fall off into. And that is faking like everything is great and wonderful when it is not. And therefore, you don't hate, rather, you don't help the people that could benefit from the truth that you're going through and you're dealing with some ugly things, but you're going on for the Lord. Still, you're still going to preach. You're still preaching. You're still shouting the victory. You're still praying. You're going on for God. I mean, I'm not married to my wife because we have a great, wonderful love story. We do not. I'm married because of the vows I made to God and for my children's sake. And I believe that's the reason why she's still married. She's not married because, married to me because she, I'm rich. Never have been rich, never wanted to be rich. And she's not married to me because I have $1 million life insurance policy for her to get if I die. The truth of the matter is she probably will get nothing other than maybe a little bit of VA or something, maybe. And the truth of the matter is my wife, Marika White, has not been worth it. Go ahead and click that. Refresh that. Has not been worth it. So, that's, and I've told her that. So whatever she gets, it'll be by the grace of God. It's not by me. And the good things that I have done for her, as I've told her down through the years, is only by the grace of God. It is the God in me The love that she has felt for me has been God's love. It's not any personal love of mine. I don't have any love for any woman like that. Not only her, I've never been a romantic kind of a fellow. It's all very functional. I understand that you're primarily here to help me in the ministry, not to always feel loved up in Romeo and Juliet. No, I mean, marriage is a functional thing, and it ought to be motivated by love, but the only kind of love that God talks about in marriage is agape love, His love. And if that's not enough for you, I have no other love for you, because I don't have a loving bone in my body for anybody. Any love that comes through me, anything that I do for you out of love, it is motivated by God's love. For example, not too long ago, I didn't want to do something for her. I just didn't. In the flesh, I just didn't. And I went to lie down, and God told me, I want you to do that. So what is it going to be? And so I got up and I did it. And I told her so. God's love is more secure than anybody's fickle love. Now see, what I'm saying to you people and sharing with you people, it may be painful for her to hear again. But it'll be good for you to hear. Some of you wives who are wicked as the devil towards your husband and towards your children. You're footloose and fancy free. You jump your little tight skinny jeans on and go and run out and be with your girlfriend and laugh your head off and be mad as the devil with your husband who loved you enough to marry you, and mad as the devil with your daughters and your sons because you have to take care of them. You need to hear this. Okay, because your husband may be afraid of you, but I'm not, baby. I'm not. And no matter how much you try to kill me, no matter how much you try to stop me, I hope by now, Sister Gail, pastor's wife, so-called co-pastor of your little church, I hope by now you've seen that God is with me and you can't stop me. No matter how much you try, no matter how much you try to influence my family to betray me, and even my oldest two children, trying to get them to betray me and to hinder me and to be Judases for real towards me. No matter how much money you pay them, no matter how many trips to Jamaica you promise them and give to them, no matter what kind of car you help them buy or what kind of house you help them buy, that's not going to change them deep down in their hearts. They appreciate the car. They appreciate the money you gave them to pay off a school bill. They appreciate the house. They appreciate the prestige and the business offers that have been coming their way. Keep on doing that, but don't think that's going to change them and make them hate their father, you lying devils. I'm talking to some of you pastors' wives and one pastor and one so-called Christian musician. You didn't think I knew you. I knew about you, did you? Is that the reason why things have happened the way they have? I would encourage you to leave my children alone first and leave me alone. Because what you're trying to get to happen is not going to happen. Leave my wife alone. Sending little messages that things will be better for you if you leave your husband. And forsake your husband and plot against your husband and lie on your husband. I've already told her, and I'm telling you. My wife, Marika White, after 35 years of marriage, if she wants to go, she can go. I will help her. Just leave me alone. Leave the children alone. because humanly speaking, she's not worth keeping. I'm telling you, you're her family that, who are trying to pull this thing, and you better make sure you all take care of her. Don't get her out there on her own and try to put her up in her own place and get her a job and she can take care of herself. She's not even ready for all that. So you don't need to play that game. She's well taken care of right where she is, has always been. And so that's what's going on, folks. I know you fake Christians will love to hear how great and wonderful it is and how sweet and dandy it is. That's not even the case in your marriage, you liar, you hypocrite, and you phony. Some of you people have not had sex in 6 months and you're married. Some in a year. You don't even know how to get it started up again. You have not got jiggy with it for so long. You're afraid to even approach it. Some of you men and women are afraid to even think about it, but yet you're horny as the devil looking at pornography. Like the nun, so horny she's sexting and she's in a wheelchair. See, it don't matter. And I ain't mad at her. I told the bishop, I said, you cast, he kicked out of the church. I said, you cast the first stone, you devil. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to cast the first stone against that disabled nun who desired a bald-headed priest. That's how some of you all are. I said, don't you laugh at them. That's where you are. You looking at apps, got apps as old as you are. You got different apps for dating. You got more apps for dating on your phone than your children do, you liar. Men and women, pastors and female co-pastors and pastor wives, you sneaky devil. You have three phones. One is for just for the apps for dating. And Ashley Madison, trying to cover up and hide your sexting people. I told all pastors, you should never sext. No, let me change that. Never text another woman that's not your wife or daughter. Nope. I said, nope, don't do that. One of the reasons why, pastors, is because texting is akin to pornography because of the screen. The screen makes you feel like you can say things and type things in and get away with it. But that is not the case. Do you remember the mayor who could be running for president this year out of Detroit? You know why he went down and went to jail? Texting, sexting. Oh, it's a lot of fun to do that. Because you can say some things in text that you won't say face to face on the phone. Oh, you can just say some things, and there's some people just like Dr. Frederick Casey Price said, there's some men who can text your panties right off of you and text you right on into a hotel room in the church. Look at me real good. Okay? See. So, that's what's going on here, what's going on in your life. Hopefully, by my telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, being dead to this world, I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what you think about my wife or my family. I can care less. Means nothing because I'm dead. I'm here to help you. God has me alive to help you. How is it? Some of you have already divorced. You need to read that article I wrote today on blackchristiannews.com regarding that nun. Some of you are not having sex because you divorced the one that God gave you and that you vowed to keep and to love and cherish until death do you part. Now you can't even have that sex, that comfortable sex. And some of you wish you had that comfortable sex. Again, look at me, don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Don't you? Oh, there's nothing wrong with that comfortable married sex. When sometimes folk don't even have to take a shower. You just wake up in the morning and go for what you know. Huh? Yeah, that's a big problem solver, especially for men, but for women too. God wired you that way. I told the people in the article that the sex drive, the sex desire, fire, is so powerful, it is stronger than hunger for food. I told them that there are many men, most men would rather have some vagina than vegetables. And there are many women who would rather have a penis than peas. Oh, I know you sweet evangelicals and you sweet Protestants. You can't stand it when I tell you things like that. But see, you're the same one out there on porn. You're looking at pornography. You're looking at pornography before I came up. And then you heard you, the thing came up and said, I was on, you switched over. See what he's talking about tonight. You were looking at pornography earlier. You probably sexting like the nun in a wheelchair. Now, let me tell you something. When you sexting a man out of a wheelchair, in the words of that black girl, she ready. No, you ready if you in a wheelchair sexting. See, it don't matter. That desire for that connection with that man child, that woman is strong. And I get that man child, woman child from Pastor Val Cuthbertson, because he used to introduce me in his church for the preacher of the week for revival. He would say, after this solo, we will hear from the man child, Daniel White. I, to this day, I don't know where. That's old school right there, buddy. That's old black church school. He got that from. For, okay, dear friends, that's where we are. That's what's going on. And I do this for another reason, to help you. But another reason why I do that, because if they are successful in pulling their plot, I want you to know ahead of time, as a prophet, what they were plotting and doing. See, it hasn't worked. It was supposed to be done before June. Well before June. They were also plotting to take down BlackChristianNews.com before June. For there are some homosexuals involved in the family. Involved with this, and they have pulled back all support. People who used to stand with us and support us easily without a problem, they've been told not to support us, and they really believe, they're shocked that I'm still preaching live. They are shocked that BCN1 is still going on. And by the way, we have a Give, Send, Go campaign going on. Go right on BCN1, and you just give $10, $20, $1,000, $100, $200. You can buy an ad on it. You can get something in return. You can get a book in return. $2,000. Some of you have $250,000. We need all of the money we can get, because we're fighting some real demons and some real devils. For real. I mean, the devil hates my guts. And I'm here tonight preaching because I saw that even more so in the month of June, so-called Sodomite Homosexual Pride Month. I mean, the devil put my wife in a depression. She was so pitiful, trying to hinder her husband. And tonight, walking around here right before the services, acting like the devil, mad as the devil, mean as the devil. I know the devil's behind it. Why? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And her family members and she is, and the devil, I guess, But my wife is shocked that I have not responded the way they wanted me to respond. And it's not because I'm a good person. In the words of Dr. Charles McKinney, I have a great Savior who fills me with His Holy Spirit. And the key thing is something that my wife witnesses every morning. Because she's supposed to be praying with me. She witnesses me praying privately. She's supposed to be praying with me, but she knows that I pray about everything in the morning time. On top of that, I read the Word of God with her. That means that she has to read it out loud along with me. And hopefully she's praying. I have to pause sometime to listen to see if she is praying. And I have told her repeatedly, pray out loud. And she knows that's where my power is. And just like the persecutors found out about Daniel, my power is in prayer to God. That's my Samsonite. That's my long hair, if you will. That's where my. You stop me from praying, that's going to be a bad situation. So I guess outlaws, you're going to have to kill me. That's your next step, isn't it? Have at it. God is my protector. And so just pray for those of you who are saved and know the Lord. Pray for me. And pray for my protection in the Lord as I continue to preach the Word of God. I'll probably be here every day this month too. On into August, on into September, and then start a 40-day fast at that point, and then go for the 100-day run from September the 15th to December the 25th. The Word of God reads, as I preach in your hearing, the title of this message and this series, even on July the 1st. History repeats itself. America and the West are now Sodom and Gomorrah and will reap similar consequences. And they are reaping similar consequences. Allow me to show you something. I hope you can see it. I'm going to put it up. This is a map of all of the fires. You want to know why we got smoke coming over here in America? Here's a map of all the fires in Canada. Can you see that? That's across the entire country of Canada. I hope you can see that. Okay, I'm going to lift it up a little bit higher. Can you see that now? Maybe you can't see me, but I want you to see this. This is what you call, and we've had a similar situation in America over the past 14 years. Fires breaking out all across Canada, all across America, and we're reaping the smoke of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do not play with God. Take your hand off that mouse. Take your hands off. There you go. all across Canada. Now, it's not just over on the eastern side, as they try to tell you on the news. These are fires breaking out across Canada. That's happening right now. That's why the smoke is going across America. And the smoke is even going across Europe. Okay? I wanted to show you that because I preached on that the other day and you didn't believe me. That's all across Canada. Why? Same reason why it has happened in America. Because America and Canada and the West are now Sodom and Gomorrah. History repeats itself. And the Word of God says, Lot speaking, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed a sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray, Lord, tonight, in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And Holy Father God, I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon me, and thus my family down through the years. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. In spite of ourselves, I give you the glory, the praise, and honor. Lo. And Holy Father God, as we continue in prayer, Holy Father God, I do pray, and I thank you for all of these millions of blessings that you have bestowed upon me and thus my family down through the years, in spite of the devil and in spite of the devilish Marika White. And Lord, I do pray that you would have mercy and grace upon all of us who are saved in my family, in this audience, in this country, and around the globe. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us, and please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures, and our faults, as we from our hearts, minds, souls, spirits, and consciences, in the holy and precious blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. And Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would deliver us today and tonight from temptation, evil, and sin as we prepare for communion early tomorrow morning. And Holy Father God, Lord, help those who have confessed their sins and repented of their sins and who are saved and born again, washed and cleansed through the blood of Christ, to take communion, those who are not so, not to do so. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, afresh and anew, that you would put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that we would not sin against you. Holy Father God, I do pray that you would indeed deliver each and every one of us who are saved and who name the name of Christ from temptation, evil, and sin. And grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Lord, I pray that you will grant all of us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit tonight, who are saved and born again. Those who are not truly saved do not even have it in them, and they do not even understand what I'm praying about. But Lord, I do pray for those of us who are saved. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our wicked sins and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I do pray, Lord, tonight for the true salvation of my wife, Marika White, who, being tested, did not act like and did not respond like a saved person at all in the month of June. I didn't see even one little sign or glimpse of salvation in her heart, her mind, her soul, her spirit, or in her eyes. And I pray, Lord, that you will cast the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of her heart, mind, soul, and spirit. I pray for the salvation and the same thing for her mother, her aunts, her siblings, and all of her family members. Drive Satan, the devil, and the demons of hell out of each of their lives and help them, Lord, to come to know your Savior and to repent. For she gets this demonic foolishness from the generational curses that come down through her family. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll break that generational curse, that it would not touch my children. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of my own mother and my siblings and family members as well, for they are obviously religious but lost, as I was too many years ago. And Lord, I pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell out of them as well. And Lord, I pray for all of my children who have generational curses coming down on both sides, that they will plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be covered by your blood and not impacted by these demonic spirits. And Lord God in heaven, I thank you for leading me to lead them to you many years ago at the age of 7. And I pray that, Lord, you will save those who may not be saved of my offspring, and cast the devil and the demons of hell out of those who have that problem of my offspring, and give us all sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil tonight, this Saturday night, going into Sunday. And Lord, I pray that you would give us sweet victory in every area. Lord God in heaven, I thank you so much. As I mentioned, even to the people tonight, my wife, Marika White, has seen me pray to you, has witnessed me pray to you, even before we got married. She knew before we got married that she was marrying a man of prayer. And by your grace, and it's by the power of your Holy Spirit, and she saw me pray throughout the month of June. And she saw miracle after miracle, victory after victory. And she was no help, as a helpmeet should be, throughout the whole month of June. She hated the services. And as I told her, she acted like she hated you, and hated the seasons of prayer, and hated the preaching and teaching and the reading of your holy word. She acted like she despised it and was only concerned about herself. She even put herself, even to this day, before you. And so, and I warned her about that, that everything we have, everything that has been accomplished, and she should know this, but she acts like she has amnesia, is because of you. We're in the good positions that we're in, totally, because of you. She knows I have not worked a job nearly since the beginning of this marriage. And she knows that you have heard thousands upon thousands of prayers, and you blessed us with thousands and thousands of miracles and deliverances. And Lord, you blessed us with just as many monthly miracles this month, if not more, than we have had in a long time. And she knows that. And she acts like she is mad. I mentioned this to her this morning. She acts like she is mad about the miracles that you performed, that if you had not performed them, we would not be in the good situation that we're in. It's like she almost didn't want them to come to pass, as I have noted down through the years. So, Holy Father God, I pray afresh and anew that you will cast the devil and the demons of hell out of Marika White and truly save her soul. And do that to in the lives of other people who have that issue and that problem. And Lord, you know who they are, and they know who they are. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight, I pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning in this country and around the globe, and in this audience and in our families, in our individual lives. And Lord God in heaven, Draw people to yourself no matter what they're facing and no matter what they're going through. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will lift all of our sin burdens and guilt burdens, care burdens, anxiety burdens, troubles, problems, and fears from our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, and fill us tonight with your peace that passeth all understanding. In spite of this constant satanic attack and persecution, plots and plans and Judases in the family, outside of the family, in the church, and in the world, I pray, Holy Father God, you would continue to give me sweet victory over these constant attacks from my own wife, who has been the biggest Judas in my family, and other family members and friends, people in the church and in the world. Place, Lord, upon me continuously the whole armor of God. And, Lord, this is no strange thing, for my wife and I have been reading through the Psalms, and we hear David saying the same things over and over again. He was under constant persecution, constant attack, constant Judases trying to betray him and hinder him. And he cried out to you. He prayed to you. And so, Lord, we still have to do that in this day. And I thank you for the privilege to do that. And, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver us tonight from all of our distresses and afflictions, tribulations and troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the privilege and the blessing to be able to rejoice in them, to take pleasure in them, to glory in them. And the infirmities, the persecutions, the necessities. And I praise you and thank you how that you deliver us. And you feed the prophet like you did Elijah. Having a little bird to bring him some food and a cruse of water to drink. It may not be, Lord, a buffet, but Lord, you provide for your own. And I thank you for doing that for me and my family for over 35 years. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver us, Lord, from all of our tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. Deliver us, Holy Father God, from all of our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles and difficulties that we are facing. And Lord, thank you for bringing us out of a horrific and hellish month of June, so-called sodomite homosexual pride month. Lord, we saw things and heard things that we should not be hearing or seeing in America. And at the same time, I praise you and thank you that my daughter Danae, they're born side by side, they're born next to each other. Both were born in June. Lord, I thank you for blessing me to see their birthday, Danae's birthday first, and then Danita's birthday. And then in between, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see another Father's Day and having the birthday, the oldest birthday girl, to be the first one to wish me a happy Father's Day. And then the second birthday girl to send me the biggest birthday card. And so I give you the glory, the praise and the honor in spite of the horrific hellishness we witnessed in this month. And it's a shame that my children had to see some of this stuff and witness some of this stuff as well. And so, but not only my children, but millions of others of old, wrinkled old men marching down the street, riding on bicycles naked. God have mercy upon your people and this nation. Forgive us of our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins in the church and in the world. For us to be at this point in this country called America. Lord, deliver the children from this demonic foolishness as only you can. And Holy Father God, deliver us from all spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles, and difficulties that we're facing. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight on this Saturday night that you will bless and protect all of my children with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, salvation, your holy word, and the power of your Holy Spirit, and all of the people in this audience and their children in this country and around the globe. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us tonight the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. And Lord, I thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. I thank you, Lord, for remembering mercy, love, and grace, even while you chastise us and rebuke us. And Lord, I give you all of the glory, praise, and honor. And I give your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory, praise, and honor as well. For it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, verses 6 through 9, Lot bargains for the life and safety of his guests with these wicked sodomite homosexual LGBTQ men. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man." This is tragic. "Please let me bring them out to you. And you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Lot sounds like a compromiser, doesn't he? This is how a compromiser, a weak man, sounds. And they said, "Stand back." You know why they said "stand back" like that, with an exclamation point? Because they sensed the blood. They smelled blood. They sensed the weakness in the compromising Lot. And there are devilish men and women, sodomites and homosexuals, LGBTQ plus legions of demons, who smell blood with many pastors' wives in churches. That's why they have done what they have done. And that's why they boldly go up into your church and demand that you accept them as members, because you are a lot. You are a weak, compromising, so-called religious person, Christian person. These Sodomites and Gomorrites said, "Stand back," to Lot, who was somewhat of a judge in the public square. And then they said, "This one came in to stay here for a while, and he keeps acting as a judge of us. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot. They were bogarting their way into his own house, the mayor's house or the judge's house, sitting in the gate. He had already compromised so much, and came near to break down his door now. Not anybody's door, his house. "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." This was a difficult argument for Lot to make. He and the men of Sodom had a completely different standard for deciding what was wicked and what was not. You say, "Well, preacher, yes, I do have sodomites and homosexuals who hate my guts, but they don't bother me." Now you say, "Well, preacher, how do you explain that?" I can only explain it that it's about God and the fear of God I have in my heart of Him, that I am not going to compromise with anybody. And they know it. They sense that this is a man, don't try to mess with him with this foolishness, because he's not playing this game. He's not Pastor Andy Stanley. Let's go and bogart him, the Lot of today. But don't mess with Daniel White III, because it's not even in him to even talk about it, to even think about compromising. He would rather die. We already know he would rather for us to kill him before he compromises. I'm not doing that. And that's not because I'm a great soldier, a great Christian. I serve, in the words of Dr. Charles McKinney, a great Savior, a great God, and I fear God, and God taught me to fear Him a long time ago, and so therefore I fear no man, especially I have no fear of any homosexuals or sodomites. They don't bother me. They don't approach, run up on me and try to bogart over me. And they never have done that. They've never done that in over the past 43 years of preaching. It's an inside job that has to happen on the inside of you from God for them to sense. If they don't sense it, they smell blood, and they're going to do what they want to do. If they know you are compromised, if they know you, preacher, pastor, you got some sugar in your tank, you have an earring in your ear, you are what they call a unicorn, they notice your gay colors that you wear sometimes to indicate that you're halfway there. They already know that you're on the down low. You're almost there, all the way. So they know how their gay dog goes up on you, and they know whether or not you got some gayness in you. Don't bow your head. It's not time to pray quite yet. We're going to pray in a minute. They can detect the gay die in you. They look at you. They can look at you. They sense it in your spirit that you're one of them deep down, but you got your little outward Christian facade up because you don't want to. You don't want the evangelicals to know and the Baptists to know. They know that they have a friend who does your hair, who does your nails, and they can, and they know that they've already told them that he's got a little sugar in his tank. He's married to a woman, but you know, that doesn't matter. The men of Sodom thought they were pursuing pleasure and did not care that Lot thought it was wicked. And this is what you need to understand, my dear preacher friends and pastors' wives. The homosexuals, the sodomites, they have a totally different mentality than a righteous person does. They can care less about morality. They can care less about the gospel. They can care less about what the Bible says. They're demon-possessed and demon-controlled. They don't care anything about that. Your bringing that up to them does not mean a hill of beans. That's proven this past month. And if the Supreme Court does not stop this foolishness, if the church does not rise and stop this foolishness that's going on in this country, I would be shocked. You see, they were not told all of this was going to happen. I believe Obama is shocked by the behavior of the so-called LGBTQ plus demons, legions of demons. The difference in their standards points to an important question. If we abandon the Bible's guide for sexual morality, what guide for sexual morality will we follow? See, what they want is no guide. They are going for your children. They have said so. We are here. That means they're here to stay. We are queer, and we're coming for your children. That means we're going to sodomize your children. We're going to homosexualize your children. And we're already doing it. They are erasing children, and they want to have sex with your child legally. That's what they're going for. They're erasing women. That I cannot get my head around. I guess one of the reasons why I can't get my head around that, I believe women are the most beautiful creatures on earth. God did something when he made a woman, Jack. God did something very great when he made a fine, fat woman. I'm telling you the truth. And how she can move and how she can satisfy a man is just out of this world. Excuse me. But they're trying to erase women. Women are nothing to these demoniac people. They're nothing. To simply do as one please is not enough. Lot said, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. See, even back then, there was a spirit of diminishing women. Women were nothing. When I believe they're the greatest gift to mankind. Greatest gift to the earth. Lot's offer to the mob was horrible and cannot be justified. Beyond the pale, the men of Sodom showed a shocking demonstration of depravity But we are just as shocked at the depravity of Lot, the willingness of Lot to give up his daughters to satisfy this mob of monsters, as we are at the sinful desire of the mob itself. And tonight, even though I have a whole lot more to cover and to deal with, if the Lord tarries his coming, I'll pick it up tomorrow at right there. And I think this is a sad enough note to end on. But that's what this abominable sin will do to people, and make them make some bad decisions, and even destroy their families. It's a demon spirit from hell. And it involves indoctrination too. And that's what's happening today. Your children are being indoctrinated. Your children are in the process of being brainwashed. Their minds are being turned into mush right before your eyes. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. I praise you and I thank you for revealing to me the plot of my in-laws and outlaws and so-called family members and church folks seeking to stop me from preaching your holy word and their persecution. And so, Lord, thank you for leading me to more fully share with everybody what's going on. And if they're involved in such a situation, help them to be encouraged. And those who are involved in this situation, that they will back off and back up and go on with their lives while they can. And be what, and get saved, and be what you want them to be. Holy Father God, I thank you for your holy word and your Holy Spirit. And I pray that, as always, your holy word will continue to speak to the hearts of people long after this service is gone. It is amazing how you do that. I pray, Holy Father God, tonight that you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and Lord, prepare all of us who are saved and born again to take communion in the morning, and Lord, to serve you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be religious, but lost and on your way to hell. You may have been raised in the church like I was, but did not understand that you were going to hell with your religion, that your Sunday school classes, your Easter plays, and your quotes that you had to give every now and then for youth day did not prepare you for eternity. It doesn't matter whether or not your dad was a preacher, your mother was a preacher. If you never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as Savior and prayed and asked him to save you, and you have a personal relationship with him right now, you're lost and on your way to hell. And God does not want you to go to hell. Jesus Christ does not want you to go to hell. That's why he preached more on hell than the prophets. He preached more on hell than the apostles. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want you to go to hell. Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. He said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most important words in the history of the world when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, dear friend, believe in your heart tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. This may be my last night. You may never hear me preach again. It may be your last night. Many people are going to die over the 4th of July holiday, unfortunately, if the pattern keeps up as it has down through this past year, since January. You may be one of them. You need to be ready for your death, because you can die at any time. You can go to sleep tonight and wake up dead and in hell. And there'll be no more party hard, jam, jam, boogie, boogie, let the good times roll anymore. For you will be in the heat of hell, burning forever. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Understand that you are a wicked sinner, just like me, just like the Pope, just like the Dalai Lama, just like the Bishop, and just like Joel Osteen. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That means that you're going to die and I'm going to die, as sure as I'm black and my last name is White. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Holy Father God in heaven, I admit that I am a wicked, evil sinner, and that I have sinned against you multiple times by lying, by stealing, by lusting in my heart after people and things, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, by dishonoring and disrespecting and disobeying you, Holy Father God, by taking your name in vain, lying on your name, also committing other sins. Lord, you know all about them. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins and help me to repent of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my wretched soul tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins and help me to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you truly believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and you called upon his name in prayer and you meant it, and dear friend, if you never see me alive again, I want you to know that based upon the Word of God, the holy words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Bible, if you were sincere in what you did, you are now saved from hell and you have a new home in heaven when you die. And so with that, may I say to you, congratulations for doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying and asking him to save you. Now, to help you grow more in the faith, I want you to get your free book from me titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door on GospelLightSociety.com. That is GospelLightSociety.com. Read that book, download that book, read that book, and it will give you the next steps you need to take as a Christian. Also, on that same site, GospelLightSociety.com, tap on the Gospel Light Society Podcasts button, and it will take you to thousands of podcasts that you can listen to free of charge. The book is free of charge as well, until your heart's content. I'm dealing with nearly 50 different subjects. Be blessed and grow in the Lord. Email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. Email us at gls@gospellightsociety.com and let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you got saved tonight, so that we can rejoice with you and pray with you and pray for you. If you have a special prayer request, send that in, whether you're saved already or you just got saved. And we have prayed for thousands down through the years, and we'll be glad to pray for you until you tell us to stop. If you have any questions, send those to the same email. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, it's been more than a blessing, more than a joy to be with you tonight. Remember to pray without ceasing. Remember to read the Word of God. Remember to meditate on the Word of God. And remember the motto from the Marines, because you are a soldier of the cross, hold the bloodstained banner high. The Marine said, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra, always above. Onward, Christian soldiers. We used to sing that a lot in our church at Gospelite House of Prayer. Onward, Christian soldiers. And so, pray for me as I pray for thee. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, or around noontime, we will have communion here at Gospel Light House of Prayer. It will be right here on BCNN1.com along with other sites. And don't forget the fasting that starts at 12 o'clock midnight and goes to 12 o'clock midnight Monday night. We're praying and asking God to cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, wokeism, and other things that war against the soul in the lives of people, not only young people, but old people too. Just this past week, a young pastor, it looked like he and his wife and family were just as happy as they could be, but for some reason went into a hotel. Thank God he didn't shoot the children, but he shot his wife, tried to kill his wife, and he tried to kill himself. 25 years old. So, grandparents, great-grandparents, and parents, you need to pray without ceasing for your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and for your family. And you need to fast and pray, for this kind will not come out otherwise. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow for communion. Make sure you pray and get your heart right with God. Now, don't come here trying to take communion and you're taking it unworthily, because God does not like ugly. God bless you, my dear friends, as the music plays. Oh yes, I love it real good. Our God.